Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
But there is the full-time whistle.
There goes the hooter.
And it's full-time.
And that's a whistle of joy.
Supporters invading the pitch.
We won it! We won it!
This is the final whistle on Ocean FM tonight. The latest on the referee stoppage for local soccer in Sligo Leitrim. We're told it's not a strike. The refs, we understand, are meeting tonight, but as it stands, there'll be no local junior soccer games this weekend. Donegal GAA orders the Ardra Bunduran senior championship game to be played again. And Sligo's Hubert Gilvary is on the Connacht senior matchday squad to play Cardiff tomorrow night. We'll hear from his old school coach. Welcome to the programme. This is Austin O'Callaghan, and here's how you can get in touch. 083 3500 530 by text or by WhatsApp. If you prefer, email the address sport@oceanfm.ie, and you'll find us on Twitter at @OceanFMSport. Also coming up, the head of Sligo GAA, Sean Carroll, on the county managerial appointments for 2022, which were confirmed this week. But first, we understand that the local branch of soccer referees is meeting tonight as a resolution is sought to their non-availability for junior and underage games in the Sligo Leitrim district. The sports governing body for match officials nationally, the Referee Society, suspended the Sligo Leitrim branch last weekend, and the leagues here were informed that refs wouldn't be available for youth matches or adult fixtures. There are 24 registered soccer referees in Sligo Leitrim. So what's at the centre of this dispute? That's a question I put to Noel Kennedy of the Sligo Leitrim and District Soccer League.
At the moment, my understanding, Austin, is that the games will not go ahead this weekend, as there is an impasse in relation to the Referee Society. And this is unfortunate. It shouldn't have, in my opinion, got to this stage. It's through no fault of the local branch whatsoever. They were informed by an email late last week that their branch was suspended. No reasons given. And I got a phone call then yesterday morning telling me that a second branch has been formed in Sligo, which is totally unacceptable against their own rules, because you cannot have a second branch within that close proximity to another branch. Neither is there a need for it, as the referees that we have locally have been fantastic. We came back from COVID on the 7th of June. Every game has been covered at youth and junior level. The chairman there, Paul Kilcoyne, Secretary Owen McLaughlin, Treasurer Philip McLaughlin, all the members have been nothing but outstanding. And we're fully supportive of the reasons as to why it's not there. We're very upset that our clubs at every level are not getting football. Now, my understanding is some youth games will go on this Saturday. And I'm hoping to be back next week with dialogue opened up, that everything can be put on the table and get back to some form of normality. But the questions as raised by the local branch have to be answered, and properly answered. And I would think that there will be now.
Can you shed any light on what's at the root of this dispute that the Referee Society nationally seems to have?
Well, the Referee Society, we have, again, the league has absolutely no issues with the branch. Branches has covered every game that we've called, every season, not an issue. The problem is an internal issue within the referees branch itself. And my understanding of that would be in relation to appointments and appointments to National League. And that would be a matter for themselves. But it's an internal dispute within the referees society. And I can understand it, but it has to be addressed by the hierarchy and by those in charge of it. So if you could understand, basically, it's nothing to do with money. It's got nothing to do with the game itself. It's internal appointments locally for national games, etc. Also, the recruitment of referees. getting referees in and assessments and that, all of those things. And that really is their remit. And these are the questions that need to be addressed and answered.
So it leaves you and the Sligo Leitrim League a little bit stranded in the immediate term, does it, Noel? Because you can't fulfil your fixtures.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, you know, it's regrettable. And especially for the clubs and the players and that after COVID and that. But there is no one more acutely aware of this than the referees themselves. And they don't want it either. But unless they take, took a stand the way they were being treated, it was never going to be addressed. And they have tried for the last number of years to have this addressed. And I know that because they have been on to my good self. I raised the matter in the highest echelons and they were ignored. So I have complete sympathy with them and I understand where they are and we support them. But yes, we want to get back playing. And hopefully, my understanding is the referees are meeting tonight. And from that, forthcoming, we'll be back and playing football next week. So it has been a small hiccup in the situation, but in the long term, it might be the best thing that has happened to have these things out and aired, because basically what's required is for people to sit down around the table, have dialogue, put the cards on the table and resolve the matter. And that's the only way it's going to be done. And unfortunately, the local branch has not been afforded that opportunity at any time. Contrary to what people may say verbally, they haven't.
Okay, so if they're talking this evening, is there a small chance that maybe there might be some resolution between now and the weekend, or are you resigned to chinning the games this weekend?
Well, for ourselves, basically, it's been FBI Junior Cup weekend. So yes, there are one or two games that had local teams competing against each other. Unfortunately, there are other teams coming in from Roscommon, Mayo or Galway, and it would probably be too late of a time for them to organise, you know, travelling arrangements and all that. So what I'm hoping will happen often is that the fixtures that are down for this weekend, which is FAI Junior Cup, will now take place next weekend and we move on. So that's basically where we're at. And that would be the best way to move. It'd be totally seamless insofar as it's been a hiccup for a week. Let's get these played, because national competitions are very important. And the fact that we have clubs coming from outside as well. Some very big games, in fact.
That's Sligo Leitrim's Noel Kennedy on the non-availability of referees for local soccer this week and this weekend. 083 3500 530 is the number to text and to WhatsApp. Now, the new United Rugby Championship kicks off tomorrow evening for Connacht. This competition replaces the Pro 14. Andy Friend's side are in Wales to play Cardiff, and a Sligo man is part of the matchday squad of 23. Hubert Gilvary, a past pupil of Sligo Grammar School, is on the replacements bench. His old Senior Cup schools coach on the Mall, James Gavin, spoke to the Final Whistle today after official confirmation of his Connacht senior selection came through.
I suppose for the individual himself, Hubert, it's probably a very, very exciting time for him, but it's also exciting for everybody who's been involved with him over the years, both from the Sligo Rugby Club point of view and especially here at the Grammar School, where Hubert has always been a very dedicated member of what I would class as our rugby program. I think it goes to show that at the end of the day, hard work and determination, most of the time, it pays off. So we're really delighted for him.
You coached him at senior level in the Grammar School. Was his talent evident from an early stage?
I think from a very early stage, in terms of natural talent, Hubert would have shown obviously great skills in terms of his footwork and pace, which, you know, no matter what sport you play, initial pace off the mark was absolutely fantastic. He obviously had to work on certain things, and certainly at junior level, Mr. Conor Brandon, who was his coach at that time, in conjunction with ourselves, would have worked very much on his tackle technique, because certainly originally I thought that was one of the things that he needed to work on, and it really came to the fore over the last number of years, where now with his dedication and his hard work in the gym, both here and in the school, and also through the auspices of the club, he has become very determined, very fit, very strong, and has built up muscle with the SNC program in both places. So his tackle has really, really improved as far as I'm concerned. And that was probably the biggest thing that we had to work on. As for natural skill and pace, you know, to a certain extent, you can't really put that into him, but he had that from the very beginning.
What's his best position, would you say? We've seen him kick it out half, we've seen him at scrum half. He seems a very versatile type of player.
In the school here, you know, for example, just in my own time here, we had him in the first year that he was on the senior team, he actually played at full back, where, again, his range of skills, especially in terms of coming back with the ball and sidestepping and showing his pace and speed, really did come to the fore. But personally, I think his best position is scrum half. He really came to the fore last year as well when he played a couple of games for the Sligo senior team and was very outstanding in terms of showing technical ability and also reading space from scrum half.
Andy Friend, the Connacht head coach, made a point in the media commitments this week of referencing the fact that it's another Indigenous player coming through to the senior ranks in Connacht, and it's a proud week for both his hometown club Sligo and his hometown school, the Sligo Grammar School.
I have to say that in terms of, from that point of view, I think it's actually very exciting times again, as I said at the start, as far as the programme in our school and in the other school, the other schools around the town, and also in Connacht in general. I think the actual effort that has been put into S&C from all of the schools has been, you know, absolutely brilliant in terms of how they've changed over the last 10 years in terms of facilities and providing them with programs. And our own program here obviously has helped Hubert along the way as well, through the auspices of the school and also in the local club.
And two more thoughts, James, to finish. You know, I'm just thinking you have a new batch of first-year students there in Sligo Grammar School. Some of them may be interested in playing rugby or taking up the sport. It must be nice that you can point to past pupils like Hubert and say, well, look, this guy came through here and now he's playing senior representative rugby for his province.
Obviously, you know, we would have great affinity with all of our past pupils, especially the guys who have gone on to play at international level, both at schools and youth, and also at professional level. One or two have managed to do that as well. So I think it's great when even for first years when they come in and they see the pictures around the school and the team photos and so on, and also in terms of success over the years, even in the last, before pandemic, they're even getting to the cup final and winning the league that year was great inspiration for the guys who have come through. It's obviously a bit disappointing for some of the younger fellows that they haven't had a chance to play up in the last year and a half to 2 years. But now he's got everything, will get back on track, and hopefully we should see the fruits of, you know, their efforts and also our efforts over the next number of years. And maybe there are future Hubert he's got in the younger ages here in the school and around the town, should we say.
And I'm sure very finally, lots of Sligo Grammar School connections will be watching the game on the telly. And you know, as well as anybody else, it's rarely a 15-man game these days, professional rugby. It'll be, you know, if he was to get a few minutes and come on at some stage at the Arms Park, that would be quite a moment.
Well, and more than, you know, Stephen Cairns, who came on there a number of years ago and played really well, especially abroad in France. I'm hoping that he will get a few minutes. It would be great for his own self-confidence, and I think it would be due reward for the determination and hard work that he has put in himself over the last number of years, because basically one thing I'll say about Hubert anyway, he's definitely not a quitter. He tries and he tries and he tries, so it would be fantastic for him if, please God, he gets some minutes in this match at the weekend.
That's James Gavin from Sligo Grammar School, the former Senior Cup coach of Hubert Gilvary, who's part of the Connacht matchday squad at Cardiff Arms Park tomorrow night. And Cardiff against Connacht is live on the telly. TG Cahir, kickoff 7:25 if you want to watch Connacht and Hubert in action tomorrow night.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's final whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.
Some of your comments and text to 083 3500 530. A couple of you asking about the new local branch of referees that appears to have been formed separate to the Sligo Leitrim referees branch of the Referees Society. Who's behind that? Some of you are wondering. And is it legally set up? Noel Kennedy did touch on that in his interview. That doesn't have official backing, it would have seemed, but we will try and find out a bit more about that for you. Elsewhere tonight, Donegal GAA has ordered the senior football championship game between Ardra and Bundoran to be played again. Ardra won the original match a fortnight ago by a single point, but Bundoran subsequently objected, their contention being that Ardra used six substitutes during the encounter instead of the allowed five, and the CCCC in Donegal agreed with that assertion. Peter Campbell was on co-commentary duty for Ocean FM at the Ardra Bundoran game, and he was among Conor Breslin's guests on the Donegal GAA podcast today.
There was some confusion at the end of that game. I think myself and Paddy McGill was doing commentary. We weren't sure what was happening, but we felt then afterwards that it was the wrong man came off as a substitute for CJ Malloy came off, but he was only off something like 30, 35 seconds, and he went back on again, and Matthew Sweeney came off instead of him. Ardra obviously claimed that the wrong man came off. Bundoran claimed that they had used six substitutes, and what can we say? The outcome last night says that Bundoran must have been proven right, and the CCC have ordered the game to be replayed. I think it's actually fixed for next Wednesday night in Ardra. That if that goes ahead, there would be a bumper crowd in Ardra next week. But as you say, the likelihood of an appeal to Ulster is also in there, so this could drag on for a little while. You never know. We might even get the 2020 championship played before the 2021 championship final is played this year after all.
I would have to say, like, I remember listening to that game, yourself and Paddy on the radio that day, and there was an air of confusion around because CJ came off. He wasn't off for more than 10 seconds, really. I remember Paddy said on commentary that they perhaps brought him back on because they didn't have a free taker. But there was serious confusion between everyone whether it was an official substitution or not. So I presume Ardra will appeal to the provincial board. But the question goes to on what grounds will they appeal it?
Well, they probably feel that it was just a human error mistake, that there wasn't a sixth substitute put on, and I'm sure that'll be the grounds for their appeal. I suppose one of the things that maybe threw a little bit of confusion into it was the public address, who announced that CJ came off and then announced that CJ had gone back on as a substitution. We wouldn't have been aware at the time that would have amounted to six subs, and there was a free, I think, involved as well, that CJ took when he went back on. And there was confusion all round over it. But whether what will happen at Ulster, we don't know. It could go to Croke Park. It could go to the DRA, this one. So, we have a couple of weeks. Obviously, it can be, if it goes to a replay, there will be a number of weeks. It could be played in the week before a quarter final. And you would hope that it would be cleared up at that stage.
Yeah, Gary, was it the right decision in your call, considering we already have the backlash from the Niamh Connell Kilcar final? What's your view on it?
Yeah, look, it's a season of appeals for these situations around substitutions. I think I wasn't at the game, but I think Peter's version of events there. Teams, and it's difficult for managers on the line, being one myself, that we get caught up in emotions of games, and it's really down to your club Rooney to officiate the subs. And, you know, when these are coming on, once the slip's handed over and the player crosses the line, he's on. It's been well documented that there. The CCC could have took other decisions there, either to fine the club or replay is what's been ordered or award the game. And that's the three options, but we always seem to be going for the replay. The rule is very open and very wide for CCC to make a decision. And I think because of the county finals at hand, maybe somewhat tied to go with a replay on this occasion. Time will tell what will make a big difference in the championship. If both teams go out and have a couple of victories and they make the latter stages, it might not be needed too much. So that where it all come on, and they might just play the game for the sake of playing it, where the Niamh Connell and Kilcar game is the more serious. The Dr. Maguire's up for grabs in in that decision. So look, at I think time, as Peter said, the next week or two, we'll see how results are going, because one team could fall into a relegation battle as well. But if both teams make it to the latter stages of the competition, the knockout stages, then it might not be too serious.
Yeah, I was chatting to a local referee, so I was, just this morning, and he said, with regards to the situation, and it'd be interesting to get your view on it, Gary, considering you're a current manager, that it is not the linesman or the referee's job to force that rule. It is up to the manager himself to know the rule and to enforce it himself. And if they do bring on too many subs, well, there's going to be backlash.
Yeah, look, at referees have a difficult job. I'm the first to admit that. And we all view rules as coming on. It's very hard to keep up with it. It's up to team officials. And of course, most teams have official on the line with the subs. It's very, very clearly what we had to do, and learning from it before, where they're only number 1 to 5. And that's it. And that's your sub sheets done out for the day. You don't pick 6 or 7 with you. You have kind of have it planned out, but maybe we're not as have bigger benches as other clubs that would have. But certainly your forward thinking is, managers will think of different scenarios and when have players to come on and when have players come on. And human error does happen. It happens on the field, it happens with referees, and it's been well documented now, it's been happening with officials on the line of clubs. So look, at it's I wouldn't put it down to referees. Their rule is to officiate the game and what's in front of them, and with subs and documentations and linesmen, it's very hard to keep up with it.
That's Buncrana manager Gary Duffy and journalist Peter Campbell with Conor Breslin on Ocean FM's Donegal GAA podcast. And you can listen to more where that came from by searching for Ocean FM Ireland right now, wherever you get your podcast. You'll also find the pod on oceanfm.ie on the homepage. And some indications there, as Peter mentioned, that the replay of the Ardra Bundoran game may be next Wednesday evening, but nothing official on that as of yet. 083 3500 530 by text or WhatsApp. Next to Sligo, as the senior and intermediate club football championships reach the decisive weekend as far as the group stages and qualification for the semi-finals and relegation playoffs are concerned. Sligo GAA has confirmed the county managerial appointments for 2022. Tony McEntee, who initially came to the Yates County on a 3-year agreement, will lead the senior team into 2022, and he's again being joined by Joe Keane as assistant manager, Mark Breheny as selector, Paul Durkin is the goalkeeping coach and selector, and strength and conditioning will be led by Sean Boyle. Additional backroom team personnel, we're told, will be confirmed in due course. Desi Sloyne will return for a third season as under 20 football manager. His backroom team includes coach Paul Higgins, selectors Conor Mara and Eamon O'Hara. Richard Kennedy is on logistics as well as being a selector, and Joe Quinn is the strength and conditioning coach. Paul Henry, who led Sligo to a Connaught Minor football title in 2021, he will manage the new under 18 and under 19 football development squad. And this squad will focus on bridging the gap between the under 17 and under 20 grades. Paul and his backroom team will work on the development of players in this age group who aren't part of the county under 20 football panel. And helping him do that will again be Enda Mitchell, Colin McGee, Ross Donovan, JP Carden and Pat Kilcoyne. The backroom team essentially for the Sligo Miners this year. And that group will also liaise closely with the performance games development administrator Sean Boyle. Well, Sean Carroll is chairperson of Sligo GAA. He's been talking to the Final Whistle this evening on those managerial appointments, beginning with the senior appointment of Tony McEntee.
We did a detailed review, which I think is at the minimum you'd expect. And, we brought the findings and we brought the findings of that discussion back to the management committee. And there was a robust discussion on it. We spent quite a while at it, actually. But I think in general it was a fairly straightforward decision to move ahead with the second year for Tony and his backroom team. A difficult year, I suppose. It started reasonably okay, but it disappointed in the end. But sometimes things can go like that. We weren't a million miles away, really, from a win up in Belfast, and things just kind of maybe went south a little bit after that. So Tony will have, hopefully a better chance to prepare, and he's had a good summer of being around Sligo at matches and a better feel for the county and for the players. So yeah, I'm very optimistic for next year with our senior team.
Yeah, and he has been seen at plenty of club championship matches already this summer. There is always an impatience, Sean, isn't there, I suppose, for the senior team to do well, for senior success. But looking at the sort of blueprint Sligo GAA seems to be developing in terms of how it appoints and then sticks with particular management teams, is that kind of a formula now to give managerial teams time?
I suppose, look, in terms of the development, you know, from the lower ages, we're trying to build a structure that will give us the best chance of bringing the most players through to the adult level, you know, in that guys that are capable of playing at that level. In terms of sticking with management, I suppose each individual case will be looked at, you know, and what's best for Sligo GAA will be done at the time. So I think it's good at senior level that we have a bit of continuity. We have had a lot of change of management in recent years, and I think a bit of stability might be no harm. And I'm certainly looking forward to next year with Tony. Desi is into his third year now at under 20, and again he's probably had a few years of where his preparations have been impacted, or it has been difficult. So looking forward to seeing what Desi and his team can do next year with a better lead into it and possibly more games.
Yeah, and presumably you had to take COVID into account, because all counties were affected to greater or lesser degrees, but the Sligo under 20s in particular this year, and the senior team. I mean, these have not been normal GAA management years, have they?
No, they have not, and there are certain aspects of preparation that probably need a lot of pitch time, which wasn't available to us. Now every county was in the same boat. Let's be clear about that. We're not making excuses in that regard, but we have young enough team at senior level and in terms of developing them to, you know, to play certain ways in certain scenarios, probably a bit extra pitch time would have been more welcome, and I think the manager alluded to that last year. So this all adds to the, you know, the expectation, and I know you mentioned there that, you know, that there's not a lot of patience out there, and like in a way I kind of agree with that. We do want to be successful, and you know, we do want Sligo to win, and you know, I'm hopeful and confident that it's going to happen.
The beacon, of course, for Sligo football in 2021, Sean, was the Connacht Minor Football Championship winning side, managed by Paul Henry and his management team. David Caffrey is going to take the minor reins in Sligo from next year, but you have created a new under-18, under-19 development squad role for Paul Henry and the management team he had with them. Tell us about that.
Yes, so I suppose it has been identified in a few years back that we were having difficulties in transitioning from under 17 to under 20, where we would be competitive at under 17 level, but maybe turn up 3 years later against the similar opposition, and the results would be not nearly as good, or not be nearly as competitive. So there were some steps taken in previous years to try and you know, keep guys on programs, training programs, and so on and so forth. But the feeling, you know, is now that we need to be more formal about that, and we need leadership over that, and it has to be a bit more than just gym programs and so on and so forth. So Paul and his backroom team have absolutely bought into this idea, and I think they're an ideal group to lead it out and to set the standard. You know what, we have to understand that there's a huge amount of work that takes to develop players from 17 to 20. Just because they've been very successful and competitive at minor level, that doesn't guarantee that they're going to be the same at under 20, or even into, and then even into senior is another step. So this is a key building block we see in the progression. through those ranks to make sure that, you know, we get the best of the work that has been done at the lower ages. We have been very competitive at under 17 level for 5 or 6 years now, and I think if you go back through the results through history, there is a mark that there's a change in our success rate since then, and we now need to make sure to filter this on up to under 20 and senior.
And is this the template that Sligo GAA shown, you know, this idea where the under 16 manager 1 year is the minor manager the following year, so he or she is getting two consecutive seasons with that group of players? It clearly worked in terms of the minor team of 2021, and you've been doing that for a few seasons now. Do you see that becoming, well, maybe it already is the norm in Sligo, I don't know.
Yeah, this is, I think we're very happy with how this has worked. This was introduced a couple of years ago, you know, I think our development squads kind of, they work with a pool of coaches up to under 15, and then the under 16 manager is appointed, and that manager and team will take the group through under 16 and into the under 17 Connacht Championship. You know, focus on skills development at the early ages up to under 15 and even under 16, and then, you know, at under 17 you're starting to try and progress to, you know, to game situation, to winning. So that's the approach that's been taken. I think there was a lot of thought and work went into that, and I think that it's a good model and it's standing us in good stead.
And finally, Sligo Coaching and Games are advertising for an under 16 academy manager at present.
Yes, that's again the continuity of this approach. The manager will be appointed for the under 16s for next year, and then they'll take that team through to the Connacht under 17 championship in 23.
And one final thought, Sean, seeing as we are in the heat of the championships at the moment, club-wise, in Sligo, would you be optimistic that that kind of continuity might have a ripple effect in terms of raising club standards as well as we go on?
Well, a key message that came through our reviews from, you know, from the team managements and from the county management committee, and it's something that I'm big on myself, is that the link between clubs and the county has to, you know, has to be improved on, and we, you know, we have to I know that some of the coaches involved are keen to meet with club coaches and so on and so forth, so that they can better understand how they could, that relationship can be improved, and, you know, that learnings can be shared and passed among the groups, which I'm delighted to see, because, you know, Sligo is a pretty small county. We need everybody on board. We need unity, and you know, together we can, you know, we can achieve quite a lot. I firmly believe that. So that sort of relationship, if you know, building on that relationship, and I kind of call it like a one Sligo. You know, that we're all trying to work together for the greater good. I think that can bring us quite a distance.
Sean Carl, chairperson of Sligo GAA, on the football appointments for 2022 managerially. And if you're wondering about the hurling appointments, well, the review process is ongoing in the Yates County. And a similar announcement, we're told, for hurling management teams for 2022 will come in due course. Finally, this evening, to basketball. The Sligo, EJ Sligo All-Stars basketball team play their first pre-season game against Letterkenny IT at the Mercy College gym in Sligo at the weekend. That's the first indoor game of note competitively for the All-Stars in some 16 and a half months since COVID hit the globe. So good to have basketball back in the Mercy College gym. There's a new chair at the helm, and we featured him on this programme recently, Jim Lawler, the chairperson of the EJ Sligo All-Stars for the next three seasons. We played you a bit of his interview a few weeks back on the three-year plan for the club on and off the court. But here's the bit we didn't get to, Jim, on some exciting things that are coming down the track. First, his thoughts on some of the new recruits with the All-Stars for the 2021-22 season.
Jamie Hayes, who's played with London Lions, he's a 6'7" power forward. He came in last Monday as well as Zach Powell. Zach is a point guard, 6'1". And next week, Keith Jordan Jr., who's 6'6", He's a forward. He played in Detroit. In his last game there, he scored 13 points. He had 3 assists, 5 rebounds. And he is, I suppose, all three of them will be expected to make a big contribution to our drive to get promotion this year. I've put in place a system of KPIs for the coaches at the National League level. And after every 5 games, we're going to assess where we're going. Are we on target to get out of the Premiership? And if not, then maybe we need to look at, have the fellas fitted in? Because as you can see with all other sports, particularly soccer, you can bring in some talented people, but they don't always fit in. That may be for various reasons, skill set. It may also be just a simple thing like they become homesick. So we'll evaluate everything as we move forward after every 5th game at a National League level. And I'm quite hopeful that we will achieve what we set out to this year.
Can I ask you, Jim, about the All-Stars' current home? It's the Mercy College gym in Sligo. And we know down through the years and the decades, the All-Stars have moved around from time to time. I'm old enough to remember in the early 1980s, the All-Stars seeing the newspaper report in the Sligo Champion when they played at the Teeling Centre in Killooney. And then the Sligo Sports Complex was home for a long time. And I think a lot of Sligo All-Stars fans remember with a lot of affection the atmosphere in the sports complex when there was a big home game, because, well, you could get more people in there, and the atmosphere and razzmatazz around it did capture the imagination of the Sligo public. What's the long-term plan here, or can you shed any light at this early stage on where the club sees their long-term home being for basketball in Sligo?
Well, only last night we agreed a 2-year deal with the Mercy to continue to use the Mercy for the next 2 years with Anne Gorby, to whom we're most grateful, and the management committee of the gym down at the Mercy. There is an agreement. When that hall was built originally, the Sligo All-Stars joined with the Mercy Order in applying for the grant aid for it. From that, then it flowed that we would get preferential treatment. And that was one of the reasons that the club moved from the sports complex, with whom we'd had a very good relationship. But obviously, money makes the world go round, and we were getting, and we still get, a very beneficial deal there. Obviously, at the end of 2023, when the deal runs out, all options, including staying there, has to be looked at. We're running into a problem at the moment in that we have over 230 members, and with COVID regulations, we can only operate indoors in pods of 6, which restricts very much what we can do. So we probably, in the interim, have to look at moving to other outlets. Other than that, I can't really say too much. Obviously, as a club, we have to look at all our options. And I have set up a committee, a project team, to look at all our options, starting with what can we do by staying in the Mercy, what can we do with the Mercy, and so on. And they look at all the options, and there's some very good, sensible, and very, very experienced people on that group that will carry out that assessment for us. Essentially, what I'm trying to do with the club is to bring a very business-like approach to everything we do. We bring in talent and people with experience to resolve issues as we see them arising, but all the time taking the long-term view.
Sure. And that's going to take time, energy, money, and presumably people, Jim, because sport is backboned, whatever the level, whatever the code, by volunteers. And how are the All-Stars fixed in that respect?
Well, obviously, like all clubs, we could do it more. This year, I'll be asking all of the parents to give us a hand. That may well be only an hour. They don't have to even know a thing about basketball. I mean, giving an hour of just supervision, particularly with the underage, you can imagine under sevens trying to control them in a basketball and teach them skills, basic skills. It's a challenge, and I'm sure our coaches go home very much exhausted by the experience. But we'd be asking people, I mean, even on a games night, and you touched on it earlier, mentioning we have good plans to revert to what we were doing in the late 1990s. During that time, you may recollect, we had a very good DJ, Philip Gillen. I had seen out in Pittsburgh and in Detroit the way the Americans treat it. They treat the games as entertainment. And in many ways, if the entertainment around the game is good enough, people will come even if you don't win. Now, so we're looking at getting a DJ in. We're looking at introducing music like Tina Turner's or Simply the Best. You know, the kind of things, Hands, Queen's music, all those kind of uplifting music. We're going to try and bring a bit of razzmatazz. We're probably checking out with Basketball Ireland if we can do what we used to in the past when the opposition had the ball in a National League game. We would play very downbeat music like plunkety plunk when they had the ball. But when we had the ball, it would be da 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 da, you know, moving things up stage. And Philip, I asked him, could he do it? And he went off and he did a fabulous job. He got a very young person's voice. And when they scored, the little voice would say, oh, you're terrible. And then we scored and say, oh, you're beautiful. And then at halftime, we had what we called little tutors. And we used to give 10 tickets, free tickets to different schools that had basketball courts or basketball boards, even in their yards, under 10s. And when they come in, we give them different coloured bibs. The moment the halftime whistle went, they would go out on the court with their different coloured bibs facing different directions, and we'd split the crowd to support them. And the whistle would go, and each player of the 10 would have a minute to run down the court, and they'd no more than two shots at getting a basket. And then it's a run back, give it to the next one.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, it lifts the roof off the hall, because the crowd supporting the kids and the excitement, the noise of the kids as they go trying to shoot. Sure.
Yeah, and I get what you're saying there. You're trying to revitalise that match night experience, which might attract more fans on a more consistent basis.
Absolutely.
I do think there is a lot of affection for the Sligo All-Stars Club in the wider Sligo community, and that probably includes people who used to go to the games, maybe because life takes them in different directions, they don't go as often or just have got out of the habit of going again. So is your goal to try and recapture that, which might in turn make the package more attractive to, say, sponsors, potential sponsors?
Well, you mentioned sponsors, and in the first instance, I'd like to say a big thank you to EJ's Menswear, who are our main sponsor, and Paul Gallagher, who's Sligo man based in Singapore, who's been great, really big supporters of the club. But to all our other sponsors, you know, the Match Ball, the Match Night advertisers, everybody, our 300 club members, I think I'd have to include every one of those and say a big thank you to them. Yes, obviously, if we can get the package right, we will attract the crowds. And ultimately, I would hope, when we get the club mark and we start moving through all of these things, upgrading our coaches. Last night, there was a regional Basketball Ireland meeting, and our representative has reported that there will be a coaches course in Termon outside of Letterkenny next month. And they've applied to have one in Sligo. And what we'd be looking for is ex-players or players that maybe assess themselves as not having the skills to play the game. Maybe they're too slow on the ball and things like that, but have the knowledge of the game that might like to be coaches or referees or table officials. my overall objective would be that Sligo All-Stars would become like a beacon for basketball players, and that all within County Sligo and the adjoining counties, that we would be like an attraction for them, and that their players would aspire to play for Sligo at the highest level. And that we would be, in return, providing coaching experience and supporting them as kind of satellites of Sligo. It's a big challenge, but I have to say, in the short time I have been back involved, the enthusiasm of the group to accept new direction and maybe more demanding objectives, I think has been eye-watering. They've been absolutely brilliant, and I'm most grateful for them getting.
One final question, Jim, and it's a more general point, but you touched on it there in terms of the potential capacity issues the Ulsters might have in terms of memberships, and that's obviously pandemic-related. Few sports in Ireland have been hit harder, I think it's fair to say, than basketball. I can remember when the pandemic first hit in March of last year, Basketball Ireland were one of the first national organisations to bring everything to a halt and to shut everything down, and every other sport seemed to follow suit. Yet they've had the longest to wait, and they and other indoor sports of a similar hue have had the longest duration to wait to get any meaningful activity going again. And I'm just wondering, in terms of that constant battle to capture the young hearts and minds and keep people in the sport, there's a lot of counter attractions out there, and I'm wondering if you would have any concern that the All-Stars and other basketball clubs around the country may inadvertently, through no fault of their own, have lost some ground here.
That's a possibility, but I think that is a challenge that we're up for. I think that if we make the benefits of membership widely available, I think that there is an interest in getting people in. There's no doubt basketball, probably more than any other sport, has been the last one to be allowed out of the traps. And only this week we got information that the opening date for games has been brought back a little bit. But we still have to operate on training in pods of six. So you can imagine the difficulty that creates. So if we've got 24 in a class, we've four pods of six. It's a challenge for the people playing, because you can't play games exactly with six people. You know, there's no doubt it's a difficulty. But I also have no doubt. Look, the All-Stars are around over 60 years. I've no doubt we'll weather this storm and not we'll come out of it with flying colours. The people that are involved and that are returning. We've had quite a few people returning to offer their support. I think that I'm looking forward with confidence to us exceeding what we set out to do, and making the Sligo All-Stars, as I said, a beacon for others to want to be associated with. And I've no doubt that we'll get the numbers coming back. I hope we reach the stage where we did in the late 90s, where we used to have to lock the door in the sports complex half an hour before the game because the place was full. I hope we reach that stage again. It may be slow building to that, but I've no doubt we will achieve it.
That's Jim Lawler, chairperson of the EJ's Sligo All-Stars basketball team. And the new season, the National League fixtures aren't out yet, but the new season for the first team is due to begin in mid-October. A reminder, The Final Whistle is available as a podcast on oceanfm.ie, and wherever you get your pods, simply search for Ocean FM Ireland on your podcast platform to find it. We're back next week, same time, same place.
Ocean FM.
Ocean FM's Final Whistle. Thanks to Donegal Plumbing and Heating. Old Lahey Road, Donegal Town. Suppliers of underfloor heating packages, aluminium radiators, Samsung and Daikin air-to-water heat pumps, and all your renewable needs.